98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
It's Maloney time for your Rush Hour Reboot. This is when she takes over. She gives you all the sports news of the last 24 hours, everything you need to know, Suns playoff-wise, or anything else in sports, and we react.
So the LA Clippers beat the Utah Jazz last night 118-104 to even their Western Conference second-round series at two games apiece. Here's Paul George talking about Kawhi Leonard after the game.
You know, you see him being more aggressive, and you know what time it is. It's written all over him in terms of it's go time, it's playoff basketball, and ultimately it's winning time. And so you see it all around him, his approach, his body language, everything is to, be great. And so, he's leading the way.
Would you rather the Suns face the Clippers or the Jazz?
It's one of those, southern phrases in which you say six in one hand, half dozen in the other. But I'm barely leaning towards the Clippers. Mm. Put Jay Crowder on Kawhi. Not that you're going to win the matchup, but you won't get embarrassed by it totally. Put Mikal Bridges on Paul George. And then I really like my chances with everybody else. The only key is, will Morris hit his threes? And if he doesn't, Suns win. Suns win. Yeah. Now, with the Jazz, their three-point shooting and their ball movement, that scares me. I don't think the Suns match up as well, although the regular season says I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. It really is. I honestly don't care, and I hope the Suns don't care. I hope the Suns are focused on themselves and what it is that they have to do, no matter who they're going to play, Clippers or Jazz. Although I think the Clippers actually believe they match up better with the Suns and have a lot of confidence in the fact that they could beat the Suns. I honestly am not concerned about playing the Clippers or the Jazz because I think it's more about how the Suns play at this point. And that's a gut-wrenching thing to say live on the air.
But as the Suns gear up to face either the Jazz or the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, is a week of rest too much time off? Wow,
yeah, right there.
I almost just choked. Is a week of rest too much time off? Here's Bobby Marks from Burns & Gambo yesterday.
I think the more rest, the better here. I don't think you'll be in a position where you're going to be rusty. I think if you were maybe starting, the benefit will be as far as if they're going to start home or, start on the road here.
Me choking is how I feel about not watching Suns basketball this week, guys. But do you think a week is too much time off for the Suns?
I mean, it's not ideal. You'd love it to be 4 days. Would be the perfect match of more rest than anybody else, but not losing your rhythm. But if it's good for Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, it's good for the Suns. And I think it's good for Chris Paul and Jay Crowder.
Yeah, not only Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, I think the entire team needs the rest to process what they've done, double down a little bit on what they need to do in the future. And for me, why are you guys, are you laughing right now? Are you still laughing at yourself? I'm sorry.
I'm looking in the control room right now in the Action Community Studios. I'm not seeing either Minch or Maloney laughing.
I'm looking at you guys. Sorry about that.
I'm laughing now because you're thinking that we're laughing.
Yeah, no one was laughing.
It's the glare. It's the dirtiest window on the face of the planet. I kid you not. It's the mentality of the Phoenix Suns that I absolutely love. Rest or no rest, I don't think it's going to matter.
So our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at arizonasports.com. And it asks, do you think the Suns will make it to the finals? Yes or no?
Wow. Yes.
I do. Gosh, I don't like.
I do.
Like, if you're forcing me to wager, it wouldn't be a lot of money. I'm not extremely confident that they will. But if I'm picking between the three teams remaining in the Western Conference Finals, I'm taking the Suns.
So 80% of the audience says yes, 20% say no. A little confident. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA's competition committee met yesterday to further explore rule changes to restrict the unnatural motion surrounding jump shots that players are using to draw fouls. What do you think about this?
I think you're making the NBA game better, and I think it shows leadership on the part of Adam Silver. I'd rather him focus on the officiating as the number one goal in the NBA. But this might make officiating a little bit easier if you take that element of the game away, because it's not entertaining basketball. I give you credit for doing it. You help your team win. But your job as a commissioner is to make the product entertaining, and it's not entertaining.
I love the fact that Adam Silver and the NBA and the competition committee, they're thinking about the balance of this game, whether it's defense or offense. They're thinking of the balance. Are you kidding me right now? Roger Goodell, are you listening? Are you watching? Defense is part of the game as well. Don't always make rules that just do nothing but favor the offense. Don't do that. Balance is what is needed. The struggle is good. Don't listen to fantasy football, guys. Honestly, don't listen to that. We need balance in the game, Roger Goodell. Offense, defense, transition, special teams. It's part of the game. There are phases of the game. Don't slant the rules so you can have high-scoring games. Give me the struggle.
I don't think we really need the special teams part.
Man, I give Adam Silver and the NBA a lot of credit on this one, because that's exactly what they're thinking of. Hey, defense matters as well.
The Diamondbacks dropped their 20th straight road game as they fell to the Giants last night, 5-2. So what's going on? Here's D-backs manager Torey Lovello.
Man, we're in a grind right now. I don't know where it's at, what's been happening, or the reasons, but we're working hard to figure that out. I know one thing. We didn't come up here to San Francisco to get our ass kicked four games in a row. I know I did. I know the coach didn't. And I know for darn sure the players didn't either. So we'll get after tomorrow.
What did the D-backs need to do to snap out of this?
Oh, my goodness. I've got a PhD in losing, and I don't know I've lost to this degree. They've lost 20 games in a row on the road and 11 consecutive games overall. 1963, the Mets lost 22 in a row on the road.
If the Diamondbacks,
major league record.
If the Diamondbacks get swept, they will set a new record. Just let this wash over you. Last 26 games, 2-24.
Oh, man.
When I've talked to gamblers, you know how a lot of gamblers will bet on baseball? They do it like this. It's really interesting. They bet on the fact that the bad team isn't going to get swept, because getting swept is hard. So take the amount of money that you would want to bet, and you bet, and I'll just make up numbers here, you bet $50 on game one of a series that the bad team's going to win. Okay, they lose. Well, then you bet $100 the next game that the bad team is going to win. Okay, they lose. Then you bet $150 that the bad team's going to lose. Eventually, they're going to win one of the three games, four games of a series, and then you make money. Because you keep increasing your bet. That theory would never apply to the Diamondbacks. Like a proven baseball betting theory will fail if you're betting on the Diamondbacks. They're that bad right now. And the idea of losing 20 in a row hasn't motivated them to do something. They're in a worse position than you can imagine. They've got a lot of veterans who need to be traded that nobody else in baseball really wants. That's where they're at. And then you have to make the tough decision. Do you trade Marte or Carson Kelly? Because they're the only two guys you're going to get anything for. And yet, the simple answer is no. Don't trade those guys. Coming up next. Oh, by the way, you want to hear the game. We've got it. 6:45, D-backs at Giants. They need to win one of the next three games to avoid setting a new all-time record that was set by the year after expansion of the New York Mets in 1963. The one is Clippers Jazz. And it's your choice who you want. Tweet us now. We'll read your tweets and give you our answer next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
The world is finally getting to see how great Devin Booker is.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kelt Lifter.
Devin Booker has been underrated for the past 5 years.
Phoenix, I mean, I've said all along, they were my team to get to an NBA Finals.
I think they're going to make the finals. They're peaking at the perfect time.
Man, it's so much fun.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
I now officially can't get the image out of my head. No matter how cool it was that you started chanting Suns in Four as a fan base in Game 2, Brady tweeted the show and answered the question, Clippers or Jazz, who do you want to face? And he just wrote, don't care, Suns in Four.
There you go. Wow, wait a minute.
But now when I hear Suns in Four, I no longer think of Game 2 and you're cheering. I think of the Nuggets fan, the fake tough guy, who tried to walk away from a kind of a weird little shoving match, and all of a sudden a real fight broke out because he tried to sucker punch a Suns fan. And then the Suns fan basically said, okay then, if you want to go, crushed him with about four straight hooks and uppercuts, then looked at the other friend of the fan and said, look, I'm beating up your friend who did nothing for his friend, even though his friend did deserve it. Then, after landing a few more punches, started yelling, Suns in Four.
Yes. No, he took a shot at his buddy, too, as well. Yeah. He took a shot, like you said, hey, you want some, too? All
right. I'm already done with your friend. On. It's time for me to worry about you.
Just unbelievable. The Suns in Four guy, right? Is that what they're calling
him? Yeah, he's
right
just now? Suns in Four guy.
The Suns in Four guy.
I can't believe he hasn't tweeted the show
Devin
yet.
Devin Booker is actually looking for a basin audience right now. If you know who the Suns in Four guy is.
You want a piece of me?
He's looking for him.
Well, that was Brady's tweet. Love went with, let's hey, take kids. Out the as. Fighting he didn't want to give bad. Him a J. Aaron said, why is this even a question? I want the Clippers. Home court advantage. Now, I see where you're going, and I know, listen, it is a... The Suns fans are now the media darlings of the world. We deserve it, and it's fair to say our home court advantage would carry us in a Game 7, so wouldn't you rather face the Clippers? But John Berry joined us this morning, the ESPN radio analyst for all of the major NBA games, and he kind of went simple. Yeah, you got home court advantage, but one is less than two.
I probably want to play Utah just because, I mean, the Clippers have two guys that can single-handedly win a game, and Utah's got one. Yeah. Now, I'm not discounting the rest of their players by any means. I mean, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, Gobert, you know, Bogdanovich, they're all capable of big games. But, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, as we've seen in the last couple of games, are just, they're game changers. They have opportunities to just win games outright. So I just think the Clippers are more talented from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, it's going to be tough. But, I think Phoenix has got to be ecstatic with the way they're playing. And obviously what Chris Paul's doing is incredible. I mean, what a game he played. That was unbelievable. I mean, 2 years ago, he was written off before he went to OKC. Like, okay, nice career, Chris. Thanks for coming. And now the guy's leading this charge to a team that has a real opportunity to win a championship.
I honestly, right now, I don't have a preference in who I want to see the Suns play. I think it's more about the Suns than anything else. The Suns are so tough, man. Seriously. We talk about their talent, and it's obvious the talent they have on this team. We talk about the team they are and how well they play together. But we don't talk enough about their toughness as far as I'm concerned. Remember, this was the best road team in the league. This was the best team in the league against above 500 teams. And they've taken this mentality to a whole new level in the postseason. Isn't that right, LeBron James? They have taken that mentality to a whole new level. I mean, Devin Booker in the playoffs has turned into the Grim Reaper, basically, for opponents. You know, I mean, they look at Book and don't see a 24-year-old kid wearing the number one. They say a dude in a hood and sickle. Chris Paul is being talked about as maybe the best point guard ever. And the only thing that Chris Paul might do better than play point guard is make his teammates play and guard better. Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder has become the metaphorical soul of the team. And I mean, it's amazing. Although he is the antithesis of Kelly Oubre Jr., He's got the same impact on his teammates, minus the swag, I would say.
Copper State Sports went with a GIF of Jay Crowder against the Lakers. And it says, it's always more fun to play jazz before you salsa.
That's pretty good right there. And you have to talk about DeAndre Ayton. The profound impact he's had on this team in the postseason. Tough is as tough does, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, has anybody noticed when DA is playing with great energy, the Suns play with great energy.
Mm-hmm.
When DA is physical, the Suns become more physical. He's like the body of this team. You can see how they're playing. You can see how they're feeling as a team. It's weird, I know, but I love watching the growth of this young dude. And cannot wait to see where it ends. You got to throw all of that together. Jay Crowder, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. This is a tough basketball team. And once again, I think the matchups for the most part are so you can build an argument either way in regard to the Clippers and the Jazz that I don't think it matters. And I certainly hope the Suns aren't sitting around saying, I'd rather play the Jazz because of this.
As long as they're not saying it, who cares?
Exactly right.
Because that's what the Clippers do.
As a player, forget about it, man. You're a pro. This is what you do. Bring it on is the mentality you've got to have as a player.
But I admit, I am interested in a Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker. It's kind of like, okay, who's going to grow? Who's going to be the one that becomes the NBA Finals out of two guys that have deserved a lot more respect throughout their whole career than they've received?
From an entertainment perspective.
That's a good one.
I think that would be real good.
Something just happened, and I only need 60 seconds, but it really does alienate me.
Okay.
Golf is making a massive comeback in America because of COVID. Not for a good reason, but it's wonderful that it's happening. And the USGA will never screw up as bad as they did by putting their tournament at Chambers Bay. Okay, they'll never do something that stupid.
Okay.
However, they came close.
What was that?
The tee times were just announced.
Okay.
And a lot of times you put different pairings together of guys that are recent winners. And you would have had a chance to put Bryson DeChambeau, then the previous winner to that, Gary Woodland.
No.
And the third would have been Brooks Koepka.
Okay, wait a minute, though.
You would have had Brooks and Bryson together and been able to say, hey, this is just tradition. We normally put recent winners together.
Right.
They've announced the tee times. Not only are Koepka and DeChambeau not together, they're at exactly opposite times to make sure they're nowhere near each other. Koepka tees off at 7:29 on Thursday, DeChambeau at 1:14. And then the next morning, DeChambeau at 7:29 and Koepka at 1:14.
There it is right there. It's beautiful.
That is stupid on the part of the USGA.
You
should have done it. You know you could have done it, and you wussed out.
You know what happened right there, right? Something tells me there were requests that were made. I'm just a guess.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
No inside information.
And the USGA should have ignored that totally.
No, I'm just telling you right now. You know, this is a gentleman's game, Douglas.
You don't have Tiger. What do we need to do to bring people?
We don't want anything happening. This is a gentleman's game played by gentlemen. Isn't that right,
bad move.
Bryson?
And boy, did I want to see Gary Woodland being the guy.
Can you imagine being that guy right there?
No,
honestly.
Can't. Coming up next, let's look around at the rest of the bracket.
He's
who's
like,
in it?
You know what? I'm going to tweet this out.
The battles of the contenders and the pretenders. When there's actually six teams all wishing they were the Suns right now. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
Got a lot to do Suns-wise today, and I want to take a look at all of the other games and how they affect the Suns. And one little piece of news, NBA-wise. You've got a game tonight, and just coming out is that James Harden has been upgraded, but it doesn't sound all that thrilling. Out to doubtful.
Wow. But out to doubtful.
But when you do that, I mean, at least there's news there. Going to get into all that in just a second, but I got to tell you, I just walked out of the Oxygen Community Studios, and one of the people that's just one of the nicest people you will ever meet is one of our, I forget what our title is, I think it's news director, but Taylor Kinnerup stopped me and said, hey, you got to see this.
Okay.
And I said, all right, whatever. And she said, so this is one of my really good friends in college, and she went to Mizzou. And she said she was in a wedding this weekend.
Okay.
And she's a huge sports fan. She got engaged at Kauffman, which is where the Royals play. So big Kansas City sports fan. And she says, so she finds out who she's walking down the aisle with because it was a secret. And then she shows me the Instagram photos of the wedding.
Okay.
This is her regular friend from college.
Yeah.
Walked down the aisle with Pat Mahomes. And she's a massive Chiefs fan.
She had no idea.
She said the story is Patrick Mahomes went to high school with a guy, and they've been close friends since high school, and Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to stand him up. So, you know, mini camp's not going on for the Chiefs. He goes to the wedding, and just like any regular dude, is there in a tux.
Oh, my goodness.
And Taylor's friend just happens to be walking down the aisle with Patrick Mahomes.
And nobody actually told her. Hey, listen, by the way.
They kept it a secret for a little while because they didn't want the freak out factor in telling everybody and stuff like that.
Can you imagine? That'd be awesome.
So you just show up at a wedding. Oh, hey, Pat Mahomes is here.
What?
Yeah.
That is good right there. Man.
That's a good story.
Well done.
That was and just another story of the dude that is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I love stories like that.
Yeah.
Every single series is tied 2-2, except for the Suns. And they're just sitting there waiting until potentially the weekend to actually play a game.
When they're performing at that level offensively, they're one of the best duos in the game.
That's Kendrick Perkins looking at the Clippers 2-2 series tie because of the performance of that duo. Kawhi Leonard had 31 and Paul George had 31. 9 boards for Paul George, 7 for Kawhi Leonard. They were great.
Okay. Playoff P has finally arrived. He still have to show me a little bit more, but I know what they could do on the offensive end. We know what Kawhi Leonard Jordan brings to the table. Defensively, though, they have been a monster, leading the pack by Kawhi Leonard. He has to remind us that he did win Defensive Player of the Year 2 years while he was in San Antonio. They are taking over the game, and they're leading it by example, and the rest are following.
He's so right. You saw a different Kawhi Leonard defensively so far in these two games in L.A.
That's the reason why the Clippers, I don't like the matchup. I don't. Again, I think it's more about the Phoenix Suns, ladies and gentlemen. And either way you want to go on that, you could build an argument. You could build a case. Oh, you know what? They'd rather play the Jazz, or you'd rather play the Clippers, whatever it may be. But, man, the Clippers have the ability, just like the Jazz, to lock it down on the defensive end of the floor. And as John Berry said earlier this morning, they actually have two guys that can close out games in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, where Utah might have one in Donovan Mitchell.
Very weird situation at the end of the game, 76ers and Hawks, as Trae Young only makes one of two free throws, and you've got a golden opportunity then. Joel Embiid with the ball, the team's down by one, 8.8 seconds to go.
Great look. I just didn't have the lift. Thought I got fouled too. But usually I would go up and, especially for a bucket like that, trying to dunk it.
He says his knee didn't give him the lift, so he couldn't go up and dunk it. And then because of that, it was a little bit of an awkward layup, but it really looked silly. It was like a sixth grader with one of those open looks, and he just falls on his own and flips it up. And I don't want to say anything about the knee. I don't know what's going on there. But it was a really weak attempt. Hawks win by three.
The Hawks shot 36% from the field in this game and won.
Mm-hmm.
36% from the field.
And it was an ugly game, too.
Both teams struggled down the stretch. It was absolutely brutal. Get this. It was 92-92 with just under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The 76ers scored 8 points the rest of the way, and the Hawks scored 11. but they had three field goals in there. Where the 76ers, for the most part, I think 80% of their points came via free throw. It was unbelievable.
The entertaining part of the press conference, however, happened when Joel Embiid was talking about a different part of the game, and then Kawhi Leonard and the dunk happened.
And of course you can kind of, oh my God, see that dunk?
What? Is it dunk? Thank you, dunk.
See that Kawhi dunk?
Oh, it's crazy.
Man.
That is stunning, too, because think of the game Joel Embiid just played. Going 0-for-12 from the field in the second half, losing to the Atlanta Hawks, suddenly tied up at 2, and he notices that in the middle of a answer.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, that was a little surprising to me.
Shows you how big time the dunk was. And then there's Bucks and Nets. That is tonight, 5:30. That game is on TNT. And Steve Nash isn't sure about having Kyrie and or Harden.
It's tough to lose, you know, great players, but we've lost guys all season. So if there's any silver lining, it's that we've continued to win games this year regardless of who's been available. We've been able to adapt on the fly, which is difficult to do sometimes. But for us, that's something we've had some experience with, and we should have some comfort and belief that no matter who plays, we can still perform.
Even though all that's true, does anybody else have, every day that goes by, I have a stronger and stronger feeling that game one of the NBA Finals is going to have Steve Nash in the Purple Palace. Don't
goodness.
You? Doesn't anybody else feel like that's what's going to happen?
It kind of feels that way. Although, having said that, if you tell me that Kyrie Irving does not play and James Harden does not play tonight, this is a game where the Bucks, now at tied up 2-2, could go to 3-2. This is a must. Almost, I want to say this, I despise myself for saying it, but it feels like a must win for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's a huge game for the Nets, too, because if they win game 5, I think they ice Harden Irving again, and they don't play them in game 6. And then they have to say, hey, if we win game 6, we got a longer rest, and if we don't, we'll bring them back game 7.
I don't see how they actually win, though. If James Harden does not play and Kyrie Irving does not play, I think the Bucks win this game. Mm. They should, at least.
That will set up a matchup between them and the Hawks and Philly, depending on who wins the other Eastern Conference series. And then you've got the next game doesn't happen until Wednesday, and that'll be a doubleheader. Atlanta-Philly plays and Clippers-Utah on Wednesday as we get closer to finding who is the opponent going to be for the Phoenix Suns. Coming up next, he has only made the Western Conference Finals once. But how does this second trip impact the legacy of CP3? That's coming up on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM Arizona's Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
Seven months ago tomorrow, the Oklahoma City Thunder traded Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns.
That's stunning.
The first thing he did is he went to Robert Sarver's house and played in his gym with Devin Booker just to kind of connect, get to know Book on a different level, even though that they had already known each other very well as players, but not as teammates. And now they're in the Western Conference Finals after sweeping this man's team.
Chris Paul could arguably be the greatest point guard of all time. And you know what? You're having Devin Booker, just a professional bucket getter. So they're going to be a tough out. So you have to tip your cap to them and give them the respect that they deserve.
CP3, I know you don't need this from me. I'm sorry. There's nothing you're going to do. And maybe that's unfair to say there's nothing you're going to do. But there's nothing you're going to do in my rankings of putting you higher than Magic Johnson.
Damn.
But the
John
fact,
Stockton? How do you feel about that?
I'm not there yet, but I'm okay with let's talk. You know.
What about the Big O?
The Big O, the thing about the Big O, I'm...
different era.
I look at the Big O and I say, listen, it's unfair to think that you were going to win championships by yourself. And maybe if Kareem would have been with you for most of your career, you would have won a bunch of championships. But there's also the argument that he was a stat stuffer, too.
Yeah.
And you got to win. And I look at this argument with Stockton. Okay, I'm intrigued to, you know, give me your points. But I do just take a step back and say, wow. I mean, just for anybody to mention it is incredible to me of where we are. John Barry, what shocks you the most about Chris Paul?
I'm shocked that this is only his second try at a Western Conference final, or conference final. I don't know who he was before, but I guess this will be his second Western Conference final. I think he was with Houston with his only other.
Yeah, but that was when he got hurt.
And he got hurt, so he didn't have anything to do with it. But that's just remarkable to me because he's truly one of the great leaders the game has ever seen. Tremendous competitor. He reminds me a lot of John Stockton. I mean, he just I guess smaller guys don't get that kind of credit of being just, you know, insane competitors, and he is, and he takes care of his body. I think he went vegan, I was reading. I mean, he's all about winning, and he understands the game so well that, you know, there's times when he'll take five or six shots in a game, and it doesn't matter if Book's got it going or Ayton or Crowder or Bridges, whatever. He's going to do what it takes to win a game. And if it's him not shooting the basketball, he's perfectly fine with that. And there's not many real unselfish superstars around. They all think that they have to be the guy that does everything. And he doesn't feel that way. He's got confidence in his group. It's a young group. But he's instilled that confidence in these guys, and that's why they're so good.
That, I think, is one of the great areas that Chris Paul has really highlighted, I think, for the Phoenix Suns, is he knows when to take over a game and when not to, right? That is a good decision that you have to make, and you have to make it during a game. And it seems like he knows when to take over and when not to. The greatest point guard, I think, of all time does it on the court, I would have to say, on both ends of the floor. Is capable of taking a game over or closing a game out. I would say Chris Paul definitely does it. He can take it to the rack or shoot it from deep, and he makes those around him better. I think when you're talking about the greatest point guard, one of the best point guards ever, you have to consider those things. He's got the ability to close it out himself if needed, and he can do it in different ways. And he makes his teammates around him better. It's a point guard is almost like a quarterback, a franchise quarterback in the game of football to me. Like a franchise quarterback, a point guard has got to be capable of lighting the lamp himself. I mean, while making his teammates better. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. We see these guys, these franchise quarterbacks that make people better around them. That, to me, when you're talking point guard in the NBA, I think NFL in a franchise quarterback.
And you take a look at a guy like Russell Westbrook, who always has high turnovers. And when he decides to take a game over, his line is going to end up something like 9 for 25, 9 for 26. He's just not a good enough shooter to really be trusted to take a game over. You look at Chris Paul and look what he did to the Nuggets, it seemed like every third quarter. I mean, he steals your heart if you're the other team. As soon as you start feeling like we've got a comeback going, that's when Chris Paul says, okay, let me put your comeback back in the bottle. And he gives you six quick points. And then it screws you up. And then he gets right back to distributing. His point about Devin Booker is so fantastic that John Barry made, because Chris Paul is saying, you're the one that's hot. I'm going to keep you going. Okay, nobody's hot. I am needed right now.
Yep.
That's what he does that nobody else is really has the understanding of how to do that.
Yeah, well, look, Nikola Jokic might not have seen it, but I tell you what, Mike Malone saw enough of it, and so did the rest of those Denver Nuggets. They're going to see it all offseason in their nightmares because Chris Paul put on a display in this one in proving what he can do as an elite level point guard, which sometimes that requires going and getting buckets. And in a situation like this, which we know how difficult it is to end a series, Chris Paul found a soft spot in this defense and just time and time again brutalized them by getting to his favorite spot on the floor, which is going to his right hand for a 15-foot pull-up. So the two new presents, veteran players, gave them a level of toughness, Mike. I think that had a huge factor in why the Phoenix Suns now are one round away from going to the NBA final.
That's Tim Legler on ESPN. And giving it all the credit to Chris Paul. And listen, that's on the one hand where it belongs, but you can't say it enough that the credit also goes to Devin Booker to being such an egoless superstar of not caring that Chris Paul has come in and gotten so much credit, received so much credit.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, I think you've got to check all the boxes. If, in fact, you're talking about the greatest point guard ever, you got to check the boxes. Capable of taking a game over or closing a game out. Would you say Chris Paul is capable of doing that? I say check.
Yes.
Definitely can take it to the rack or shoot it from deep. Check. Can shoot free throws. One of my pet peeves, a point guard who can't shoot a free throw.
You a big Ben Simmons fan, are you?
What are you doing? Stop it, please. It drives me crazy. It's like watching a goalie who doesn't know how to use his stick. No, you got to be able to hit free throws. Chris Paul can do that. And then again, the tangible, the intangible, and the tangible, the intangible of making those around him better. That, to me, is what a point guard does and is capable of doing. And we've seen it firsthand with Chris Paul.
If the Suns play the Jazz, I think there's going to be a real problem for Booker and Chris Paul, who aren't great defensive players. Chris Paul was at one point, but aren't great defensive players to close out on their threes. The Jazz, if they hit a bunch of threes, it's going to be tough to beat them. But on the flip side, as I look at the Jazz lineup, I don't think they've got what it takes to stop both Paul and Booker. I think they have what it takes to stop one of them, mm-hmm. Not both. Not both at all. So you're going to truly pick your poison in that game, and there's a chance Booker could go off for 50, or there's a chance you could see Chris Paul with one of those legendary games of 15 assists, one turnover, and throw in another 15, 20 points.
14 of 19 from the field. Sick.
We're talking about the Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Chris Paul's been here 7 months. I'm going to rip that off. I'm going to continue to say that until we're done. Chris Paul has been here 7 months.
Hey, Nuggets, how's your MVP doing?
In a word, meteoric.
No word on whether it's true that Adam Silver has written Suns in 4 on Jokic's MVP. We don't know if that's happened yet. Coming up next, will a week off make them weak? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.